This morning's scripture reading is taken from Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 through 29. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So, the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This is God's holy word.
Please bow in prayer with me. Dear God, we do thank you for your written word, your revelation to us as your followers, disciples, as people. Lord, in our faith this morning, we come before you in this passage on World Communion Sunday, seeking to be even strongly united with you and with one another, and that one another being all the people of the world. Lord, set before us your ways that we would honor you. In Christ we pray, amen. World Communion Sunday is that day in which Christians of every culture break the bread and pour the cup to remember and to affirm Christ as the head of the church. And on World Communion Sunday, Christians are reminded and we are challenged to recognize that we are part of the whole body of believers throughout the globe. And around the globe, there are many nations, there are many cultures, there are many peoples. And we know that we know more about some of those nations, cultures, and peoples through the missionaries that we support as a congregation. So on this day, as communion is shared in Jamked, India, Kajado, Kenya, the islands off the coast of Africa, in southwestern Mexico, in Biloxi, Mississippi, in Chicago, Illinois, in Toledo, in Fort Wayne, or on a college campus in Ohio, Michigan, or New Mexico. On this day, as Christians celebrate communion with liturgy in as many ways as there are congregations, may we be united together. For World Communion Sunday recognizes our Lord's call to be united, to be one in Christ Jesus. Is that possible? Is that too lofty of a goal for the church, for we as humans to attain, with all the differences that exist from church to church, from denominational church to non-denominational churches? Is unity in Christ achievable in this world? I don't have any answer to that question, but I do know the question is before us, and we are to strive for that unity amongst believers. The widely known 19th century minister and theologian Charles Spurgeon wrote in one of his books, the book was titled The Essence of Separation. He wrote, "To remain divided is sinful. Did not our Lord pray that they may be one even as we are one?" From John 17, 22. A chorus of ecumenical voices keep harping the unity tune. And what they are saying is Christians of all doctrinal shades and beliefs must come together in one visible organization to unite, to unite, to unite. And then Spurgeon goes on and he changes the direction of his writing. He continues, "Such teaching is false, reckless, and dangerous. Truth alone must determine our alignments." Truth alone. Truth comes before unity. Unity without truth is hazardous. As our Lord's Prayer in John 17 must be read in its full context, and Spurgeon points out verse 17, which says, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." As you think about that, only those sanctified through the Word can be one in Christ. To teach otherwise is to betray the gospel. Spurgeon provides appropriate thought on Christian unity. Jesus wants us to be united. He wants unity amongst believers, with that unity established upon the truth of Scripture. I have come to understand that the lack of unity amongst Christians has more to do with how we interpret the Bible than it does to have to do with our individual beliefs of faith and worship. In a Peanuts cartoon, remember it's a cartoon, Lucy demanded that Linus change TV channels, threatening him with her fist if he didn't. Yes, this is before the days of remotes. Just wanted you to think about that. Linus replies, "What makes you think you can walk right in here and take over?" "These five fingers," says Lucy. "Individually, they're nothing. But when I curl them up together like this into a single unit, they form a weapon that is terrible to behold." "Which channel do you want?" asks Linus quickly. Turning away, he looks at his fingers. "Why can't you get organized like that?" Remember, it's a cartoon. I am not advocating we unite to create a weapon that is terrible to behold. But I do want us to consider the question, why can't Christians get organized and address the issue of unity? Again, it's a lofty question to consider. The community meal ministry is one way in which I recognize the unity of believers. Several churches, several organizations share in the ministry of those community meals. Together, we are living out the parable of the sheep and the goats, feeding the hungry and fellowshipping with the lonely. Where have you experienced unity with fellow believers? I was reminded this week of unity, the unity we have through the Spirit of God. Kyle Chase, who is one of those campus ministries we support, he's at that place up north. Yes, I will say it out loud. He is based at the University of Michigan, and we have been supporting him for 15 years. The last time Kyle and I texted was in 2021. Yeah, you can look back on your phone and see. So he texted me this week on Tuesday, and he texted, "Pastor Eric, this is Kyle. You are on my heart today. How can I pray for you and the saints of St. John's?" And I texted him back, "God's timing is amazing. For the saints of St. John's, this is Discovery Weekend. We have Justin, we have Gail with us from Shepherd Staff. They met with several groups of the church yesterday in that whole process of seeking a pastor for youth and young adult ministry. And so I asked Kyle to be praying for the Discovery Weekend that we were going through. And I asked him to pray for me as I prepared for the services for my brother-in-law, one of my brother-in-laws. And he sent back a wonderful prayer. And it reminded me that there is unity amongst Christians through the presence and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Here's an adaptation of a thought from Pastor A.W. Tozer. Tozer asks, "Has it ever occurred to you that 100 pianos all tuned to the same tuning fork are automatically tuned to each other? They are of one accord by being tuned, not to each other, but to another standard to which each one must individually bow. So, 100 believers worshiping together, each one looking to Christ, are in heart nearer to each other than they could possibly be were they to become unity conscious and turn their eyes away from God to strive for closer fellowship of the people." Every Christian church must be tuned to God first. Not to each other. We must bow before the authority of God if we ever want to have unity amongst believers, amongst churches. Have you heard the expression, a Bible-believing church? What's your immediate reaction, response when you hear that phrase, a Bible-believing church. Doesn't that apply to every Christian church? Isn't every Christian church a Bible-believing church? One would think so, but I've read and I've heard that many Christian congregations have forsaken the Bible. Many are tuning their ways to the ways of the world, reinterpreting and actually now rewriting the Bible to fit their context. A Bible-believing church bases their belief system on the Scriptures. So with the question of unity in mind, let's go to Galatians chapter 3. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Neither Jew nor Greek, also translated as neither Jew nor Gentile. If you were not a Jew in biblical days, you were a Gentile. It was those two. You were either Jew or Gentile. And there were vast cultural differences between the two. But in Christ, when a Jew or a Gentile came to belief in Jesus Christ, those differences were set aside because in Christ they were one. Paul goes on, neither slave nor free. That was a mighty difference in biblical times. There was a clear division between these two people groupings. But again, in Christ, in faith, there was no longer separation between slave nor free. And then neither male nor female. And that can be contentious in today's world if we are listening to the secular world and their ways. But in Christ, when Paul writes neither male nor female, he's united us together as people. Not as our differences, but as people. And so we view each person as an individual of importance, without societal differences keeping us apart. But when we are in Christ, we are one and we are united. All one in Christ Jesus. And it is through Christ Jesus that we draw closer to Christ and closer in unity to one another. It is only as more and more Christians are united with Christ will unity be achievable, be reachable. And it is always a goal in our daily lives and in the life of the church to work towards that goal, to set aside the differences, which is why World Communion Sunday is celebrated around the church, around the world, from all different denominations and people groups, to recognize that we can seek unity in Christ alone. Praise be to God. Amen. On this World Communion Sunday, know that Christ is Lord of all believers in every land. He is God's Son, and He is our Redeemer. And remember that Jesus said, I am the bread of life. You who come to me shall not hunger. You who believe in me shall never thirst. So in company with all who hunger for spiritual food, we come to this table to know the risen Christ and the sharing of this life-giving bread and this life-renewing fruit of the vine. So as we prepare for the celebration of the sacrament, I invite you to join together in the hymn number 342, Just As I Am.
Lift our voices together, just as I am, and we'll sing the last verse, a cappella.
Let us unite in our prayer, praying together. God, we know that we have sinned against you.
And too often we have failed in that which was your will for us. Too often we have fallen on ourselves from our sins. And our help of those who fall upon us in their time of need. Forgive us and restore us the persons you want us to be. In the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.
A believer in Christ becomes a new person altogether. The past is gone. It is finished. Everything has become fresh and new. Believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. And know that at St. John's, our practice is we serve open communion, so all who believe in Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior may partake of these elements. And in communion, we remember that night in which Jesus would be betrayed, that he had first gathered in the upper room with his disciples. And while they were at the table celebrating the Passover meal, Jesus took bread and after giving thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." And in the same way, Jesus took the cup. And he told them, "This is the new cup of my blood shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's bow in prayer. Lord God, today we seek to be unified at your table with Christians all around your world. As we join them in spirit, regardless of differences, may we identify closely with them through concern and compassion. We pray that you would bless this bread and bless this fruit of the vine. Bless us as we receive these elements in remembrance of him who died for us all. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. I invite our servers to come, for now, all things are ready. the body of Christ, the bread of heaven, broken for you. Remembering him, take and eat. The blood of Christ, the cup of salvation poured out for you, remembering him, take and drink. Let us bow in prayer and offer it together, our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. We forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. May this Holy Communion be the living example of God's love and acceptance of his people, as promised in the birth, life, death, and resurrection of his Son. Rejoice in the blessing you have received here. Amen.
My chains are gone, and I'd like to read a couple scriptures. The first one is from Psalm 116, and it says, O Lord, you have freed me from my bonds, and I will serve you forever. That's the part of my chains are gone. And the second part is found in 1 John chapter 2, and it says, My little children, I am telling you this so that you will stay away from sin. But if you sin, there is someone to plead for you before the Father. His name is Jesus Christ, the one who is all that is good and who pleases God completely. He is the one who took God's wrath against our sins upon himself and brought us into fellowship with God. And he is the forgiveness for our sins, and not only ours, but for all the world's. And how can we be sure that we belong to him? By looking within ourselves. Are we really trying to do what he wants us to do? And so, my little children, your sins have been forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. The amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me.
Save the wretch by thee.
And now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen.